The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Author Harlan Coben is the master of the plot twist thriller with such bestsellers as Tell No One and The Stranger. His latest mystery, The Boy from the Woods, it's terrific and it's just what we need to get stuck into while self-isolating in these times of uncertainty, which is exactly what I've been reading in the last few days and loving it. A page turner par excellence. And Harlan this week joins us on the show. Good morning to you, Harlan. Very nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you. Thanks for the kind words. That's a nice way to start.
Harlan, as a writer, you're at home at the moment, not necessarily locked down, but you look out the window this morning and look at the world, which is so changed from this day last week or 2 weeks ago. What are you thinking?
I think the uncertainty is the hard part for everybody, really. For me, staying inside, socially distancing, not to be make light, there's a fine line between social distancing and being a writer. I'm often my best when I'm stuck alone, having to make myself work and keep away from other people.
Yeah.
But I hope everybody's listening. I hope everybody's taking it extraordinarily seriously. And I'm hoping that what I do, The Boy from the Woods, will be a distraction, as you said, a diversion, yeah. Entertainment, something to. This is what I contribute. I can't build things. My wife is a doctor; she can help that way. This is my contribution, if you will.
Well, indeed, you're both in very different ways offering a salve to a jaded public. On to your own schedule at the moment. I mean, this has upended everybody's world. You would have been on a book tour, obviously, going to various bookshops, and our friends in the bookshops listening in today will be suffering, as you can appreciate. So what has it done to you in the tour for The Boy from the Woods?
Well, the tour is over for The Boy from the Woods. It's hard for me to care about that sort of thing. But I do worry a lot about the stores. I was going to visit them on my Twitter page. I'm highlighting each day the store that I was going to visit, something about them, ways that you can still order with them. I'm signing a lot of book plates for them and other stores to send out with the book. So to encourage, still to shop locally, if the store is open and safe and practicing social distancing, you can do that. A lot of stores are being clever shops delivering or leaving it right outside the door in some way.
Yes.
So we're all trying to make do. I think ebooks right now are going to be very, very big for people. Trying to make it work as well as possible.
And if people are reading more, whether it's your books or anything, the bottom line is this can only be nourishment for a generation's brains and souls.
That's what I hope. You try to make the good out of it. I'm also recommending on my Twitter feed all sorts of other people's books that I think that people might like while they're shut in to give a try too. But yes, you try. It's hard to try to make a positive out of a negative, but how often do you say, I wish I had some downtime. I wish I just had some quiet time to read. And I also said, I was sort of doing a little thing online the other day where I was saying, how many of you told me over the years, I wish I could write a book, but I don't have time.
Yeah.
This is your chance.
Yes.
Take a pen and paper, start. Why not?
Yeah.
It might not be any good. Someone said to me, well, it probably won't be any good. I'm like, I play golf all the time. I'm no good at it, but I still like it.
It's one of those bizarre sliding doors moments. I mean, even in your book, you talk about the Hitler paradox. Like, what if Hitler hadn't been born? This could be the Corvid paradox. If we didn't have it, there might be some Nobel Prize literature winner waiting to go who suddenly goes, actually, I have that time now. Who knows?
Right. So let's hope people, the key is that people have to take this really seriously. I mean, again, having a wife in the medical profession,
sure.
This is not, this is not fun and games. We don't know where this is going to go. Really, no one seems to know. So I do hope people take it seriously. And I do hope that my part of it is that you read The Boy from the Woods or you watch The Stranger on Netflix or something like that. That's what I do. And if it helps you, it means that that means a great deal to me. I love hearing from people that are telling me when they say that.
Yes,
it means a lot to me.
Well, that's why I really meant it when I said at the beginning of our chat, Harlan, that The Boy from the Woods in the last week was a page-turning joy to go to return to. You know when a book is so enjoyable? You know that, but you want to go back to it. You want to wake up early.
When you tell me that, that's what I try to do. That's the best feeling. That's the best thing you can say to me. I mean, I always joke that I want The Boy from the Woods to be the book you take to bed 11 o'clock at night and say, I'm just going to read for 10 minutes. The next thing you know, it's 4 in the morning.
Now you have it. I love
same
that.
Thing now.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you're bored, you're distracted, the day is going to go too long, all of a sudden you start the book at 10 a.m., boom, it's 6 p.m. That's my hope.
But will you give us the... Indeed. Would you give us the nutshell description of the book for those who haven't picked it up? Because it's only out now.
Sure. Well, also, I'll give you the what if quickly. So, I was hiking through the woods, which I hate. I'm looking for a coffee shop, I'm looking for window shopping, I'm looking for a bookstore. You know, this, after a while when you hike, it's trees. I got it. It's trees. Can we move on? And so my mind starts to wander, and I see a little boy, probably around 6 years old, and walking through the woods. And I think to myself, what if that boy just came out of the woods now, and no one knew where he came from? Mm. He swears he always lived there. He broke into houses to survive or whatever else. He remembers no parents. And what if 30 years pass, he's an adult now, and he still has no idea who his parents are, what his background is, nothing. Mm. And then another child goes missing in those woods, and he has to find them. That was the seed, the start for me of The Boy from the Woods.
Yeah. And that brings us to Wild, of course, as he's called in the book. And he's a kind of enigmatic but important figure in the story, which involves teenagers and grandparents and romance, but also, obviously, plot twists and turns all the way along. So tell us a little bit about that too.
Yes, well, you know, there's co-leads. So Wild is one lead. The other one, which I thought would be funny, was a 7-year-old tough-talking female lawyer from New York City.
Love her.
Hester Krimstein, who I've featured in other books, but now we get to meet her. And she and Wild share a tragic past, and is when another kid goes missing. And they start realizing the ramifications for this is not just some kids running away or even being kidnapped, but actually could help change the entire world. The story starts to really spin. This is for those who watch The Stranger on Netflix or whatever, yes, know my work. This is pretty twisty with, I think, one of my better surprise endings. Like, there's three of them, three surprises at the end. And
say nothing.
I hope you hang on. Once the book gets started, I hope you just hang on.
That's it, exactly. And I will talk about The Stranger in a minute. But there's just three pieces, I think, in the book that I'd love to talk to you about. One is Hester, as you mentioned her. She's the 70-year-old perky lawyer who's no nonsense and doesn't suffer fools, as we say. What I loved about what you did with her story that a lot of our listeners will, I hope, resonate with, is that she's the romantic lead. She's falling in, not in love with, but she certainly has this teenage relationship with a man her own age that is just the sweetest thing for a hard-nosed woman. But in other words, romance carries down through the, you know, as I always say, we're adults are just kids with wrinkles anyway.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly what I was trying to do. I haven't seen a romance or written too many in crime fiction where romance with a 70 or two 70-year-olds. And, you know, one of my sort of philosophies on life is that we are all 17 waiting for our life to begin. We are always 17 waiting for our life to begin. And so the heart doesn't know from age. The heart doesn't know from any of that. And so to watch her heart kind of go vroom again to watch her swoon, this sort of tough talking lawyer, I think was really fun to write, and I'm loving the reactions. So thank you.
No, it's really sweet.
This book has a lot in it. I tried putting a lot in this book.
I get that.
I want to crime, I wanted romance, I wanted thriller, I wanted danger, and I wanted contemporary issues. I wanted it all. Sorry.
Well, you got it all, because you then have one of your characters, obviously Rusty Eggers, a reality TV star turned conscienceless presidential frontrunner, based loosely on no one we know, I'm sure, but nevertheless, very much echoing our times.
Yes. Basically, I was more the cult of personality, frankly, than right wing or left wing or any of that. It's the extremism on both sides, perhaps, and the sort of cult of personality. But there's something called the horseshoe theory of politics, which is that when you start going too far right and start going too far left, they become much more like each other than they are like the center. And there's a danger there. So, I don't write political books. But it's what's going on. I write contemporary novels, so whatever's going on in society, how we're being manipulated, how we're getting fake news, whatever side you're on.
Yeah.
We are being toyed with. I hope we're not being toyed with too much right now. And so, in a fun way, I hope, I try to explore that.
I got the sense that you, as a writer, might be jaded by CNN and Fox News.
Well, I'm more jaded by one than the other, let's put it that way.
That's what I'm saying. You're equal opportunity jaded.
We have to be very, very careful of being manipulated by false stories. And there's a chapter in there, I don't know how far you've gotten, I'm not giving anything away, where a political team is doing damage control.
Yes.
And you can really see what actually goes on. I know this for a fact. What actually goes on when something bad is happening to your candidate and what nonsense you will put out and how it works. Yeah. And it works very effectively. Yeah.
We've been going since the Romans, I think. But let me ask you about one of the third of the three things that really jumped out at me was how well you write teenagers as a father. Well, one's beyond that, but anyway. But two, the language of them. I think sometimes grown-ups, that is to say, people like you and me, but certainly writers, which is you, often sound like they're trying to get teenagers right. But you obviously have very good cold face experience of it because it feels very real.
I have four children that are now between the ages of 18 and 25. And they did read it. They do read it early. And if I get something glaringly wrong about the teens, they let me know.
Yeah.
They let me know. But a lot of it is a lot of my job basically is eavesdropping. Mm. So in days when I would be able to carpool and just sit there quietly and try to listen. And if I am sitting next to you in a coffee shop sometime and you're wondering, is he listening into my conversation? Yeah. The answer is usually yes. Fringe benefit of my job. It's nothing personal.
I forget the word now, which is annoying me, but at one stage, I think it's Wilde is talking to the teenager Matthew, and Matthew says something very teenagey that I hear probably twice, three times a week, which is, never use that word again. That's for us, essentially, not for you.
Exactly. I get that from my kids. If anybody follows me on Instagram, sometimes or Twitter, I'll say something cool, like I think it's cool.
Yes.
And my daughter, one of my kids, will comment just the word ew.
You will never be
or
cool.
Stop. Or stop.
Stop.
Or
stop.
Just eye roll.
Yeah. I get it.
Or my personal favorite is, can you not?
Can you not do that in front of my friend and park somewhere, park three roads down? We don't want to see you in public. But Harlan, let me ask you briefly, if I may, about The Stranger on Netflix, because I was watching, I got a kind of word of mouth recommendation. I watched one episode and then I thought, hang on, I'm actually going to be late for work tomorrow morning if I keep going here. So, you know, what are you heartened by what's happening there? You're kind of conflating your literary endeavors with the television world now. I mean, where's that sitting with you?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I'm trying to deal with Netflix as the first of the deal, though. I have two other shows one other show on Netflix right now in the UK called Faith. And for the UK shows, I've teamed up with really the best, Red Productions and Nicola Schindler and Danny Brocklehurst. Nicola and Red Productions with Happy Valley and Last Tango in Halifax, Queer as Folk, and Years, and Scott and Bailey. I can go on and on. Mm. And so Nicola is my partner on these, and The Stranger seems to have done really well in the UK. I'm thrilled with how it's gone. And people are now watching Safe. And if you have a Sky and the Man, you can watch The Five. Those are the three shows that we've done. Danny Brocklehurst has been my head writer, my partner, also writing partner on all of these shows. And we're having a blast with them. And we're looking forward to making another one.
And of course, as an Irishman, Harlan Coben, you appreciate that we're very happy to see Walking on Cars getting having a presence on the program.
I love that song. Walking on Cars. We also have Stephen Ray, of course.
Yes, another great actor. Yeah, sure.
So we had two of your legends, two of my favorite Irish actors.
Great.
The show last one, Emmett Scanlon, who's another one of my favorite. A lot of talent, obviously, and it's fun working with those people. You know, Stephen and Durbo were both just great on set. And I can't get that Walking from Cars song out of my head, can you?
No, it's terrific.
That. It plays in the beginning. You know, I've been calling people the monster all the time, you know. These monsters back and down.
For sure. One of the things that I was kind of not happy to hear about you, but that kind of jumped out at me was that you've never read Wuthering Heights. And I think I got through the first two paragraphs of it because I just found it so, I don't know what it was. It just wasn't for me. But yet I feel ignorant as a result of this admission.
Well, you know something? I mean, they always ask the question about, like, what classics haven't you read? And I'm like, I start going through the list. It's a lot. Don't worry, there's nothing. Look, it's not enough. And how many people have told you they've read a book and haven't? I mean, ask anybody.
It's a good old movie. Yeah. And speaking of which, I know you love a book that I only knew the movie and then I read the book because I was lucky enough to be in New York recently and I thought it would chime nicely with being there, which is Marathon Man.
Yes, the great William Goldman, who wrote so many great books and great screenplays over the year. Everything from, he did the screenplay for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and The President's Men. He wrote Marathon Man and Magic and, of course, The Princess Bride. All that's William Goldman.
Yes.
People don't know who William Goldman is. They should. Bill passed away in his 80s, I think last year, maybe a year and a half ago. And a wonderful writer in a lot of ways. Another fun book, by the way, if you're just sitting at home, is Which Lie Did I Tell by William Goldman, which tells about the movies he made and all the lies and nonsense that go on making a movie. It's hilarious.
Yes.
William Goldman. Which Lies Did I Tell?
Great.
And look up William Goldman in general. You'll be richer for it.
Oh, great. And I think he did another one about the business, all of which was summed up by his line that a dear old friend of ours in this country who passed away not too long ago, Gay Byrne, used to quote a lot saying, nobody knows anything.
Nobody knows anything. I mean, his stories are hilarious. If there's two Which Lies Did I Tell books, Adventures in the Screen Trade is the
other
one.
Yeah.
But if you look at William Goldman, you will find, if you're sitting at home, Marathon Man, of course, read The Princess Bride, read Magic, this Boys and Girls Together. He has a lot of great books. Got like,
with all your millions of selling, I want to finish our conversation on a positive about your own work, Harlan Coben, and it travels. Every continent, country, type of person picking up your books, they want a twist. They want fast and they want compelling and macabre. So what is it? Why are we so interested in the dark side in a way since Sherlock Holmes and before that again? What is our fascination?
You know, I think it crime fiction, if you think of it, every novel if I ask you to name your favorite five novels that are over 100 years old, I guarantee you at least four, probably all five, will have a crime in it. I mean, crime fiction in some way, we just call it that now. It's been around since Dostoevsky and Oscar Wilde and Alexander Dumas and Shakespeare. So I think, you know, we love putting characters under stress. We like the ordinary man in the extraordinary circumstance to be Hitchcock. In my book, you know, The Boy from the Woods or whatever, I try to put you in that person's position so that you have that kind of, you know, that thrill, the roller coaster ride effect. The key is that you have to be, whatever you're reading, sometimes people forget the Irish tradition. You got to tell a story.
Yeah.
You can't just tell me how brilliant you are and give me your life insight.
Yeah.
We forget sometimes in today's world, we got to tell a story. And crime fiction does that in a really, in a great way.
Yeah, we need a good story. And now, more than ever, it's the time for a nice, distracting storytelling. And that is achieved with some skill in The Boy from the Woods. Harlan Coben, it's been great talking to you. I hope we do it again sometime. And
thank you. It was really wonderful. It was a great break. And everybody out there, I wish you nothing but the best. Please stay safe and you know, be careful.
Same to you and yours, Harlan. All the best. Good luck with everything. See you soon. Bye for now. That's
take care.
Harlan Coben joining us from his home in the United States of America.